say that, I mean, the interacting topological insulator has been a very active field, subfield in condensed matter theory in the last few years. And actually, the understanding is that in certain condition, well, the topological insulator without interaction is non-trivial, but with the interaction becomes trivialized. So this actually motivated us to look at the application of this kind of observation. So basically, what we want is that we want to make a 4 plus 1 dimensional bulk with a 2, 3 plus 1 dimensional boundary. And we want to make sure that the 4 plus 1 dimensional bulk is a non-trivial topological insulator without interaction, but it's trivialized by interaction, which means that interaction will actually gap out one of the two boundaries without any degeneracy, without breaking any symmetry, without generating any condensate of any Fermi mass term. So it means that as long as we make the interaction stronger on one side, weaker on the other side, then actually, I mean, one of the boundary will remain. And actually, that boundary actually needs a certain number of wild fermion to make this happen. Like in 1 plus 1 dimension, as I showed you, the classification is reduced from Z to Z8. And in this 3 plus 1 dimensional example, the interaction reduced the classification from Z to Z16. And actually, to analyze the 3 plus 1 dimensional bulk with a 2 plus 1 dimensional boundary is actually very difficult because we lack the analytical tool in 1 plus 1 dimension and a 0 plus 1 dimension. So we rely on certain argument plus certain numerical efforts. For example, for all this kind of analytical argument, we try to reduce a higher dimensional problem to a lower dimensional problem, which we can solve exactly. So for example, in this effort by Chong Wang, who is actually here, and also Sento, and they try to reduce this 2 plus 1 dimensional boundary problem to a 0 plus 1 dimensional problem by considering a vortex. And turns out that the vortex becomes precisely the boundary of the 1 plus 1 dimensional Kitaev's chain, which we analyzed before. And they showed that this vortex is only trivial, is only gapped and non-degenerate and preserve all the symmetry when and only when the system have a 16 Mariner fermions. Okay, so then based on that, they try to say that we can try to condense the vortex and drive the 2 plus 1 dimensional boundary into a fully gapped and symmetric state without breaking any symmetry, without generating any Fermi mass term. Okay? But of course, actually, we need, so there's a numerical effort that we had, and also there's a similar numerical effort done by the lattice QED, lattice QSD people, and we have different models. As I said, the only thing in common is that we have the same flavors of Dirac fermions, okay, same flavors of Dirac fermions. And actually, this actually is not the best quality data. I mean, later we have some better data show that this actually is we have more data point here shows that really the gap increased continuously from this point. So this means that even though this interaction on the lattice scale is actually comparable with the kinetic energy, with the UV energy of the system, the mass gap of the system can be very, very small compared with the UV scale, because it's a continuous transition. The mass gap will increase continuously from zero. Okay, so this is the numerical effort that we had in 2 plus 1D boundary or 3 plus 1D. But then let's move on to one dimensional higher, which actually is the ultimate goal, is that we try to make the same argument for the 3 plus 1 dimensional boundary of a 4 plus 1 dimensional system. So this is a toy model. This is actually a toy model that we considered. So we consider a 4 plus 1 dimensional topological superconductor with a U1 symmetry and a time inversal symmetry and a Z2 symmetry whose 3 plus 1 dimensional boundary is chiral fermion. Okay, it's precisely a 3 plus 1 dimensional chiral fermion. Okay, so we argue that we need 16 flavors of the 3D 3 plus 1 dimensional left chiral fermion in the system to actually make the interaction gap out the entire 3 plus 1 dimensional boundary without degeneracy, without generating any mass term. The argument still is following the same spirit as before. We try to reduce this hard 3 plus 1 dimensional problem to a easier one plus one dimensional or zero plus one dimensional problem. So again, we consider a vortex. Okay, again, we consider a, sorry. So again, first of all, we condense a Majorana fermion mass. Okay, we condense a Majorana fermion mass, which spontaneously break this U1 symmetry. And then we create a vortex. But in 3 plus 1 dimension, the vortex will become a vortex line. And in space-time, it will become a vortex sheet, okay, in the space-time. So what we try to show is that the vortex line or the vortex sheet is only going to be trivial, which means that the vortex line will be gapped and also symmetric, preserving all the symmetry, only when the system has 16 flavors of the Weyl fermion. Okay, so this is how we show that. So for example, for 2 flavors of the Weyl fermion, we can try to create this vortex line. Turns out that this vortex line has a counter-propagating Majorana fermion, gapless 1 plus 1 dimensional Majorana fermion along the vortex line, okay, flowing along the vortex line. And again, using the known result in 1 plus 1 dimension, which we can understood using bosonization and refermionization, we can show that this is a one-dimensional vortex line is only going to be trivial when we have 8 copies of it. Okay, so 8 copies of this vortex line can be trivialized by interaction without generating any fermion mass, without breaking any symmetry. Okay, and then we can actually try to condense or proliferate this vortex line to restore all the symmetry, okay, to restore all the symmetry, because actually by proliferating a defect, we can restore the symmetry. So, but only when we have 8 copies of this vortex line, we can restore we can condense the vortex line and restore all the symmetry. So this corresponds to 16 copies of the 3 plus 1 dimensional Weyl fermion, okay, 16 copies of the 3 plus 1 dimensional Weyl fermion. That can only happen. Okay, and we can have some other. I mean, we can actually create multiple different kinds of topological defects. For example, we can actually try to break the U1 and Z2 symmetry together and create. I mean, create like a monopole kind of defect. And we can also argue that the same number of chiral fermions are demanded in order to proliferate and condense the monopole drive the 3 plus 1 dimensional boundary into a fully gapped and non-degenerate state and preserve all the symmetry without generating any fermion bilinear master. Okay, so this actually is the Toyin model for the for the standard model. Of course, actually, the Toyin model does not have the right symmetry. It only have a U1 and a Z2 kind of symmetry. So this actually is a more directly related to the standard model. One of the proposed grand unified theory is the Padi-Salam grand unified theory. It has the symmetry SU4 cross SU2-1 cross SU2-2. Okay, so the 16 Weyl fermion, and a 16 Weyl fermion will form this kind of representation. It's a fundamental and the fundamental and the singlet and then the fundamental bar and 1 and 2. Okay, this kind of singlet. For more detail, you can just Wikipedia Padi-Salam. Okay, you can just Wikipedia Padi-Salam grand unified theory. Okay, so our goal, again, let me just recap. Our goal is to argue that this is a 4 plus 1 dimensional topological insulator with SU4 cross SU2 cross SU2 symmetry with this kind of representation is a non-trivial topological insulator in the bulk, but it becomes a trivial insulator once we turn on interaction. Okay, this is the ultimate goal. So to achieve this goal, as we said, we have to, try to make arguments that reduce this higher dimensional problem to a lower dimensional problem, which we can solve exactly. Okay, so to argue that a topological insulator is trivialized by interaction, there are two strategies. Okay, there are two strategies to make the argument. First of all, it's the strategy that I used before, is that we can argue the boundary can be gapped out without generating any fermion bilinear master, without breaking any symmetry. So this is approach number one. Approach number two is that actually, the trivial insulator and a topological insulator in the bulk, if I tune the system between the trivial insulator and a topological insulator, there must be a phase transition. OK, Okay, there must be a phase transition between trivial and topological. And then, actually, another way to argue the system is trivialized by interaction is that that phase transition can be avoided under interaction. Okay, that phase transition can be avoided under interaction. So what this really means is, suppose we have a trivial insulator and a topological insulator. Okay, without interaction, there must be a gap-closing phase transition in the bulk. Okay, but under interaction, I can actually avoid a phase transition by going through an adiabatic curve in the entire phase diagram with interaction. Okay, connecting the two sides of phase diagram together. Okay, so for this particular problem, actually, it's more convenient to use the second strategy for the argument. Okay, it's more convenient to use the second strategy for the for the argument. Okay, so first of all, this is the single particle non-interacting Hamiltonian for the bulk. Okay, single particle non-interacting Hamiltonian for the bulk. Actually, in solid state physics, I mean, everything must be, I mean, the Hamiltonian must be a periodic function of the momentum, because actually the crystal is discretized. And because, I mean, for a pair of conjugate variables, if one is discretized, the other must be periodic. Okay, so it means that the momentum space must be periodic. So it turns out this is the band structure or the Hamiltonian for the bulk topological insulator or topological superconductor. And I consider 16 flavors of them. Okay, so the boundary of this Hamiltonian, the boundary for this Hamiltonian will be 16. Wild fermions. Okay, will be 16 wild fermions. Okay, okay. So as I said before, if I tune the system from topological insulator to trivial insulator, there must be a phase transition. So this phase transition happens at m equals to zero. When m is smaller than zero, this actually is going to be a topological insulator, and when m is greater than zero, this actually is a trivial insulator. Okay, it's a trivial insulator. To see this, it's actually very, very simple. Okay, we can consider the coefficient before every gamma as a five component vector. Okay, the coefficient, meaning the function in front of every gamma as a five component vector. Okay, if m is actually very, very big, let's imagine m is very big, then actually you can see that this five component vector almost always point along the same direction in the entire momentum space. So there's no winding, okay? There's no winding at all in the momentum space, okay? But when m is negative, you can see that this vector has some winding in the momentum space. Actually, that winding will give you a winding number, okay? So basically, this is a very naive picture of topological insulator. Basically, we want the vector in front of the gamma matrix to have some winding in the moment in space, so we can define a topological number. Okay, so that topological number will be 1 when m is smaller than 0 and greater than some number. Okay, but it will be 0 when m is greater than 0. Okay, so that's actually the phase transition I'm talking about. So I will try to argue that under interaction, there can be an adiabatic fully gapped curve connecting the topological insulator part and a trivial insulator part in this phase diagram. Okay, I will try to argue that. So how do we argue that? So let's try to duplicate our previous argument. Okay, let's try to duplicate our previous argument. Let's try to first break part of the symmetry, okay, break part of the symmetry, and then try to restore the symmetry by proliferating the topological defect. Okay, so what kind of symmetry what kind of defect can we consider? So it turns out that in this system, it's very convenient to spontaneously break the SU2 cross SU2 symmetry. I mean, SU2 cross SU2 is pretty much SO4. So if I spontaneously break the SO4 symmetry, I will condense a O4 vector, a four component vector. And in the 4+1 dimensional space, a four component vector can have a monopole. Can have a hedgehog monopole, okay? And this hedgehog monopole actually preserves the SU4 symmetry, okay? Actually preserves the SU4 symmetry. So it means that the hedgehog monopole will have some fermion zero mode in it, but this fermion zero mode in the hedgehog monopole will still carry the representation of the SU4, because the SU4 is still unbroken, okay? The SU4 is still unbroken, okay? So it turns out that we can reduce the Hamiltonian to the vortex, sorry, to the monopole core. Okay, we can reduce the Hamiltonian to the monopole core. The n factor will reduce to this number. Sorry, will reduce to this term. Okay, the m will reduce to this term. And then we can turn on some interaction which looks like this. Okay, which looks like this. So it turns out you can see that if we don't have interaction, if I don't have interaction, then by tuning this m, okay, when m equals zero, the Fermion mode as the hedgehog core will be degenerate. Okay, will be degenerate. I mean, no matter how many fermions we fill in the system, they will have the same energy. Okay, they will have the same energy. Okay, so it means that actually, if I tune m smaller than zero to m greater than zero, there must be a level crossing. Okay, and that level crossing means there must be a phase transition. Okay, it's a 0+1 dimensional phase transition. But once I turn on this interaction, okay, you can see that the ground state of this 0+1 dimensional problem and the excited state, they never have any gap closing. Okay, they never have any gap closing at all. Okay, in this 0+1, they never have any gap closing. So without this problem, sorry, without this term, the gap has to close. Okay, the gap has to close when m is tuned from negative to positive. But with this term, okay, the gap never close. Okay, I mean, again, this is a 0+1 dimensional problem, so we can solve it exactly. It's very easy. Okay, it's very easy to solve exactly. Okay, so this actually means that, okay, so the symmetry can be restored by condensing or proliferating the O4 hedgehog monopole, but actually, the O4 hedgehog monopole the O4 hedgehog monopole will never have any gap closing by tuning M when and only when there's an interaction. Okay, when and only when there's an interaction. So this actually means that actually we are going back to this phase diagram. Okay, so imagine that we are tuning M, but the entire phase diagram is obtained by proliferating the hedgehog. Okay, then without interaction, the hedgehog proliferating will produce a gap closing phase transition, but under interaction, because the hedgehog monopole will have a fully gapped, symmetric, fully gapped, non-degenerate spectrum. So actually, we can actually go from this side to this side without any phase transition. Okay, without any phase transition. Okay, this is the argument, but this is not a proof. Okay, this is not a proof because actually, to get a proof or to get a more convincing data, we will need a simulation like we did before for the 3+1 dimensional boundary or even the 4+1 dimensional bulk. Okay, but actually, we are limited by our numerical power. Okay, to simulate a large system with a 3+1 dimension or 4+1 dimension is actually difficult for us. Okay, maybe in the lattice QCD, lattice QED is actually easier to do that. Okay, but actually for us, actually I haven't heard a successful simulation of this problem in 3+1 dimension or 4+1 dimensional yet. So I would say that this actually is an argument. It's not a convincing proof. Okay, but it's an argument. And I also like to point out that recently this idea has been checked in a more non-physics or a more mathematical way in this particular paper. Okay, in this particular paper. So actually, in the last few years, the interacting top-load insulator was actually understood or by argument. But then in the last few years, a more mathematical formalism called a cobordism was developed by mathematicians. And actually in this work by Wang and Wen, they tried to use this more mathematical formalism to try to analyze the classification of the topological insulator with the SO10, maybe SU4 cross SU2 cross SU2, this kind of grand unified theory symmetry. And their result, their conclusion is consistent with what I said. Okay, the result is consistent with what I said. So it means that under interaction, the system is actually indeed trivialized by interaction. System is indeed trivialized by interaction. So actually, the same logic will apply if the math is right. And also, they have a 1+1 dimensional analog. Okay, so this is their first effort of trying to. Maybe not the first, but actually, they try to analyze a 1+1 dimensional analog of a 3+1 dimensional chiral Fermion problem. So in 1+1 dimensional system, they have like a non-chiral CFT, but actually you know, I mean, they were very careful to have all the anomaly canceled out. The system does not have a gravitational anomaly, does not have a U1 anomaly either. And they try to, I mean, for 1+1 dimensional system with a 2+1 dimensional bound, actually, we have a lot of analytical tool that we can use. So for example, in 1+1 dimension, we can do a Bosonization. And in the 2+1 dimensional bulk, we have a well-developed K-matrix formalism to analyze the bulk system as well. So this is a 1+1 dimensional analog that they analyzed. Okay. And I also want to point out that so far my statement is based on the result that under certain interaction, the topological insulator and topological superconductor can be trivialized by interaction. So the boundary can be gapped out by interaction without generating any fermion mass. Okay, but actually there's another way. To gap out the boundary. But then the other way is actually to gap out the boundary into a topological order. So that means that the boundary is no longer fully gapped out without degeneracy. The boundary may have some topological degeneracy. That's a more exotic way. Okay, that's a more exotic way of gapping out the boundary. But then the system will still remain non-trivial. It's still viewed as a non-trivial topological insulator. Its boundary, although it's gapped, it has to have some topological degeneracy. Okay, this has also been studied a lot in the past few years. Okay, but actually, this talk I try to focus on the first mechanism where the interaction actually will drive the system into a trivial insulator. Okay, but for that to happen, we need the right number of Weyl fermion or Dirac fermion or Majorana fermion for that to happen. Okay, so I think that's my talk.